my sermon, but I was reading it and it struck me because it's true to me. You know the old saying, you are what you eat? There's also a saying, you know, it was actually in the Stonington, we get a little Stonington newspaper, it's like hardly anything in there, but I like to know what's going on. And someone wrote an article. He said that applies physically for food, but also applies visually and everything for what you take in. And whatever you, there's an old parable, I can't remember, it's not a biblical parable, but I am spirit, soul, and body. And it is true that whatever I feed the most will grow the most and will be the dominant portion of who I am and what I am. And let me, the guy's article is about this, and I'll just say there's a tremendous amount of negativity everywhere, all over. And I found that more and more and more. And I find if I want to stand out, I'm just positive, and I find the good. And the guy was writing about this. It's important to know, I've said this recently, I can't be salt and light to the earth and the world God's called me to if I don't know what's going on in the world, if I can't speak to it, the heart of God. But it's also important to, let me just say this, it's important I know what's going on, but the news is a business. Just keep that in mind when you listen to it. And the job is to drum up profits to get people to watch, and sometimes negativity. And the guy was writing, and there's actually scientific studies, the more and more you watch, I find it for myself sometimes, the more I follow the news, I know what's going on very well. But if I just consume it and consume it and consume it, I find myself getting more and more agitated, more and more. Because what I'm doing is I'm feeding on negativity. And it's important to understand what's going on. But I have to be able to pray and speak into it and have a set your sight on things above and on things of the earth where Christ is. Okay, so it's important that I'm aware of what's going on, that in my spirit I soar in the heavens and I have a heavenly perspective. Okay? And so when you're consuming news, I was at work the other day and I turned on a news station. Every 5 minutes it was breaking alert to the point where it meant nothing anymore. It's like that. But it was agitating me, something about it. And so I felt to share that. You are what you eat. It's important to understand. Don't just be a recluse and a hermit, because as the people of God, we, the earth, needs the church to be speaking in every area of society. We really need to be aware to do it. But it's also important that I don't allow negativity really to boost profits, to drive me away from the heart of God. Amen. Maybe that's for somebody. I don't know. I felt to share it.
I'm just going to say, you see what's going on in the news, but you don't meditate on it.
Right.
Yeah, Scripture says to meditate on things that are pure and lovely, true and noble, praiseworthy, just, and good report. Those are the things you meditate on, but you know about the news, but that's not going to be your stew for the day.
Right. That's right. Thank you for finishing. That's excellent. Did everyone hear that?
Yeah.
I meditate on the Lord, and so I'm aware of what's going on, but I'm not meditating on it. That's good. Thank you for adding that. So that might be for someone in here. I felt to share. You are what you eat. And you feel, if I've found it in myself, and sometimes I get wrapped up in it, and I'm listening to it more than I should, and it's literally changed my whole mood at times. And I was, whoa, what's going on here? I need to stop this. I need to go get with the Lord, because I'm getting right down to the, I just can't do that. So keep that in mind. I'm aware of what's going on, but like Jim said, I'm not meditating on it. Amen?
Amen.
That might be the best thing I say this morning. Maybe not, but it might be. Let me share with you this morning. I have a couple things. Turn with me to Acts chapter 16, verse 1 through 5. Acts chapter 16, verse 1 through 5. Just as a quick recap. I'll recap after I read this verse, actually. Because sometimes in the Scriptures, you read things and it can seem like a contradiction until you put it together. It's what the Holy Spirit's trying to tell us. Acts chapter 16, verse 1 through 5. It says, then he, it's Paul, they were just sent off again for their second missionary journey. It says, then he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek. He was well spoken of by the brethren who were there at Lystra and Iconium. And Paul wanted to have him go on with him. Let me just stop. This isn't my sermon. I'll just share this. Remember John Mark went home? He was with them on the first trip. And whatever reason he went home, he went home. Let me just repeat something I've said before. One thing in life, it's important not to say yes to everything. I think it was Warren Buffett who actually made the comment. He said, if I find a good leader, the best leaders are the ones who say no to the most things. And what he meant by that is you can't overcommit to everything in the world. But there is a principle in ministry of saying yes. And I've always shared the story. So for here, John Mark said, no, I'm not going to go. The Lord provided Timothy. If I say no to something God asked me to do, the plan of God's not going to stop. He'll go get Kevin to do it, right? You know? And I'll never forget the story. It was a guy in Bible school. He was sharing. He was young. I think he was in his early 20s. And it was a Bible conference. And the guy needed a speaker. So there's two guys at the table. He says, one of you need to speak for me. And they were both scared to death. It was this conference. And so one guy was afraid. He said no. And it put it back on him. And he said, you know, I better say yes. And he said, he got up there. He spoke for 5 minutes. It was the worst sermon in the world. He could only get through 5 minutes. But he said the Spirit of God moved powerfully when it was over with. And it set him on a path because he said yes. Amen. So just sometimes it's important just to say yes. And you never, like I said, big doors can swing on little hinges. Okay. Sometimes say yes to a small thing, it could swing a big door open. But he did that. But then it says, and he took Timothy, and he circumcised him because of the Jews who were in the region. For they all knew that his father was Greek. I'm going to come back to that in a minute. And as they went through the cities, they delivered to them the decrees to keep, which were determined by the apostles and the elders at Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in faith and increased in number daily. Does anyone remember what happened, what they decided in Acts chapter 15, the Jerusalem Council? When we were there, they decided you don't have to be circumcised physically to be a believer in Christ. Mm-hmm. Yet we turn around 16, and Paul's getting ready to go share with everyone. He says, let's take Timothy. Before we go, we need to have him circumcised. You see the seeming contradiction there? And it says at the same time, it says when they went, and they delivered to them to the decrees to keep, which were determined by the apostles and elders of Jerusalem. So they just decided, amongst their other stuff, you don't have to be circumcised, yet let's go and circumcise Timothy before we go and deliver to them what we just determined at the Jerusalem Council. And God blessed them. And it says that, so the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily. And so I want to bring something out. I'll do the best I can with it. And I think some of it I try to make things very practical where we are. If it doesn't work in the dirt, I don't really want it, right? In other words, I have to be able to walk things out in the kingdom of God in my spiritual life. And so why did Paul do this with Timothy? They were going to a company of Jews who would consider Timothy, because he was part Greek and part Jew, they would consider him an apostate. And if they went to them, if they went to the Jewish people, and they saw, you have Timothy here, his dad's a Greek, his mom's a Jew, he's not circumcised, what they're going to do is immediately reject the message that came to them. Okay? So it brings me to what I want to share. And I'm going to go through several scriptures. I did not put them on the back. I should have gotten to you, Bob. I'm going to read something to make a statement. I've shared some about it before, but I want to kind of give you, in my heart, what the secret to Paul's ministry was and why he did what he did. You don't have to be circumcised, but we're going to circumcise to Timothy when we go in here. I believe it's because in the New Covenant, Jesus gave a command. Let me say this. If you go in Strong's in Concordance, I think it's back there in the library, I want to challenge you to go through and look in the places where Jesus gave a command. And you'll find a consistency. I'm going to read some of them to you real quick, okay? John 13:34 says, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, you must love one another, okay? When Jesus put us the new covenant, he gave it on the basis of love. God demonstrated his love towards us, Romans says, and while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So begin on love. He gave a command to love. In Matthew 22, verse 36, 37 through 40, when they asked, teacher, what's the greatest commandment? He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and foremost commandment. Second like this is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang the whole law and the prophets. Okay? Let me read a couple other ones real quick. Just stay with me. I just gave you, as I have loved you, a new commandment I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, you must also love one another. By this, everyone will know you are my disciples, because you love one another. Okay? Listen to me again. In John, 1 John 3:23, it says, and this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he has commanded us. You see a pattern here. Okay? And 2 John, this short little book, 2 John, verse 5 through 6, he says, and now, dear lady, I am not writing you a new command, but one we've had from the beginning. I ask that we, guess what it is, that we love one another, and this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. And you have heard from the beginning, his command is what? That you walk in love. We used to sing the song when I was in children's church, this is my commandment, that you love one another, that your joy may be full. Okay? When Jesus in the Great Commission, go into all the earth and teach the things I have commanded, what was the consistency? I challenge you to go home and do it. Look in the corners. Command, command, love, love. So great, part of the Great Commission is love, right?
Amen.
Love has to have an expression, though. And it's easy to say, well, we just love. So one thing, if you look in here, is that oftentimes it says either commandments in the plural or the singular. In other words, sometimes if I say love, I can conjure up a lot of things. I wrote down, I need to do a study in here, different ways that love is actually expressed in the Scriptures. But it's fleshed out in many different ways. Okay? It's fleshed out in many different ways. And one of the ways it's fleshed out is in what we see Paul doing here in our missionary outreach to people. I have the law of liberty. I'm free in Christ Jesus. But I'm free to stoop and serve in love. Let me read another passage for you real quick. My notes are all over the place. It says, this is the rule I lay down in all the churches. Was a man already circumcised when he was called? He should not become uncircumcised. Was a man uncircumcised when he was called? He should not become circumcised. Circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing. But keeping the commands is what counts. So the old covenant command, physically circumcised, the new covenant, whether I do, whether I not, doesn't matter. But what matters is that I love. Okay? Amen? It's making sense. So let me just share. I will go through and read one more verse. I promise, I'm giving you a lot of scripture. And then I'm going to talk to you more. Okay? And we all know that. I want you to turn here. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19 through 23. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19 through 23. This is Paul writing again. And he wrote this. He says, for though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. To the Jews I become as a Jew, that I might win the Jews. Let me start off. He's free from all men. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, right?
Amen.
Christ Jesus, I'm free. Okay? To those, it says in verse 21, it says, to those who are without the law, as without the law. And read this, he says, not being without the law toward God, but under the law toward Christ. What was Christ's commandment? Love. So I'm not under the physical thing where I have to be circumcised, but I'm under the commandment of Christ, which is love. Do you see that? Okay? So what's compelling him? It's not a sense of duty, it's a sense of love. Okay? To the weak I become as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. So Paul's saying, Acts 15, we're free. You don't have to be circumcised. Yet, I'm free from the law, all covenant law. Yet because I'm in Christ, I'm under the law of Christ, the commandment of Christ, this is my commandment, that you love one another. You love as I have loved you. So when I go to another setting, what was Paul's aim in this verse? Five times in these verses, that I might win the To the Jews, I become as a Jew that I might win the Jews. He says that he might win this group five different times in those verses. What was his objective and his goal? And he says that I might save some. When I was reading this, I said, Lord, give me more and more of a burden for the lost. Amen. Give me a burden for the lost. And let me be able to walk in your love. And the principle is love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul, your neighbors, yourself. If I have a problem with love towards James, it's because I have a problem with love towards God. Right? Yeah. Amen. If I have tension with him, I need to go to him. Okay? Out of my love for him, he fills me up and I'm able to release that. And so what Paul was saying and Paul was doing, he says, I'm free. I don't have to do these things. I don't have to. What a lot of us would do today, if I was going into a situation, I said, I just got this revelation. We don't have to be circumcised. I'm going to get circumcised. And if you don't do it, well, you're just legalistic. You're religious. You're this, you're that, you're that. Paul's approach was different. He says, I'm a servant. I'm doing ministry, which means I come under. And if that's your perspective right now, I'm going to come under and serve you out of the law of love. Amen. Let me go through. I hope this is coming through in some capacity to you. What does this look like? The method of Paul's ministry. I was reading a story about a pastor or ministers in England, because this has to apply to us, and what does this look like? And again, a similar thing with Jonathan Edwards. But he went to this church. It was in the country somewhere. Everyone was a farmer. And he was bellyaching about the church. He was bellyaching about the people in the church that God called him to minister to. And one of the things he says, all they do is talk about basically farm animals. I don't want to talk about farm animals. He was constantly put this, this, this. And someone corrected him, and I don't know if it was the previous pastor or what, he said, but I remember the guy's name was Dr. Johnson. He said, Dr. Johnson, if Dr. Johnson went to that church, he would have learned everything he could have learned about farm animals. He could have learned everything he learned about runts. Maybe why? So he could effectively minister to the people who were there. Amen? Jonathan Edwards had two major churches that I know of in Massachusetts. The first church he was in was filled with intellectual elites. And so when he spoke, he had to intellectually do Greek and all the heat and all these different things. And it says, then next he went to a church similar to the one that he was describing in the country somewhere. And there's country folks. And he completely changed the way he spoke to those people. Why? Law of love. So you say, you're this. But he says, you know what? This is who you are. This is a ministry. It's how we all minister. So I'm going to learn who you are. It takes time to get to learn and know people, right? Amen? And it's important that I understand, just like I can't be salt and light to the earth God's created me to be in, I can't do that if I don't understand the people God's called me to. And I can't relate to the people God's called me to. And I don't take time with the people God has called me to. Tim Keller said this, and I love it. He says, if we are deeply involved in the lives, questions, and concerns of the people, then we study the Bible in order to preach it to them. We will see God's answers to their questions. I'm going to read that again, okay? If we are deeply involved in the lives, questions, and concerns of the people, then we will study, when we study the Bible, in order to preach it to them, we will see God's answers to their questions. I don't know their questions if I'm never around them, right? Mm-hmm. Oftentimes what happens, and this can be in our family, in our job, anywhere we are, I could be like Paul. Hey, I was in the Jerusalem council. This is what God says. I know this is what he says. This is who he is. So I don't really care what they think. Paul's approach is on the law of love. It's not just rules and commandments. It's love, which means I take the time. I know there's going to be a Jewish audience there. I want to win those Jewish people to Jesus. I want to save some of them. If I do that, I know that whether I'm circumcised or not, it doesn't really matter. What does matter is that I come into a set of people and hear my heart before. I don't compromise who I am, but it's called accommodation. This is not a big deal, but it is to them, which means I will get circumcised. Yeah. I'll have Timothy circumcised so they can hear my message, right? Wherever God's called me to. And I pick up and I learn questions that people have and that people are saying. Amen? Yeah. There's wherever God calls you to, wherever you are, there's another neat story. And there was a guy, he was ministering in the Middle East. No, I think it was somewhere over the Middle East. But they were having a tremendous amount of trouble preaching the gospel, because in America, people like knowing that God is love, grace, and all these different things. But usually when you speak of sin, judgment, things like that, people will shy away. They don't want that. And he was going over there preaching love and grace, and people were not being receptive. They weren't hearing it. And so he took the time to get to know the people where they were. And in that society, people struggled with the idea that God could be loved, because they'd seen so much tragedy, so much murder, so much injustice. And so when they hear God is love, they hear God's grace, God's forgiveness, they have a real problem with that. When they hear God is a God who judges sin, they embrace that and accept that. So he learned the people where they were, and so he began to go at it from that angle, that God loves so much that he judges unrighteousness, and people were responsive. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It can apply overseas, but it can apply here, and it can apply there. When I begin to understand people's questions, people's concerns, people's objections to the gospel, and I begin to, if my heart is to win this person who has these objections to the gospel, it's important that I don't say, this is, the gospel never changes. Never changes.
Amen.
But how I can present it to someone would be different from person to person. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And I can't do that unless I'm interacting and engaged with the person that God's called me to reach.
That's right.
So when Paul goes to the Jews, I have to know the Jews to win the Jews. And I can present it in a way. Do you have something, Linda?
I do, and I'm sorry.
You're fine.
I know this isn't normal, but
it's
I'm
fine.
Thinking about, I have a cousin who is a missionary in Papua New Guinea, and he's married and he has like 4 or 5 kids now. But when he went there, he didn't even know their language. He had to learn their language, and they didn't have the written word. It took him years to learn their language in order for them to write enough of the written word to give them the gospel, and they just this year started giving them the gospel. But when he first got there and he got to know them, somebody died, and when somebody died, they're part of their grieving processes. They don't cut their hair for a certain amount of time. So he joined in and didn't cut his hair, and so he had literally dreadlocks like down to here. And then when the grieving process was over, this is my like one of my favorite stories with him. They had like a little ceremony for him because that they had grown to respect him because he joined in their grieving process, and they had a little ceremony, and there's pictures where they were cutting his hair for him, and that's how he broke through. That was like a one of his breakthroughs to them.
That's a good story. Thank you for sharing that. It's really good. And God speaks to us in ways. Sometimes God speaks to me in a language that only makes sense to me. And one thing that God does with me, I like sports. God gives me sports analogies all the time. That might not make a lick of sense to you. God did it this week. I shared it with my wife and was like, oh God, you spoke to me this way. So it's important. Let me just say this. I won't go on much longer. That I learn where people are at and I engage with them where they're at. It means I listen to them. I engage, just a basic life principle. When you're in a conversation, just ask people about themselves and you get to know. If I want to win them to the Lord, don't dominate the conversation, ask them. Find out where they're coming from. Find out their concerns. And then if I want to win them, I pray. There's a story I shared with you, Brad, I think last week. Brad was nice enough to drive me home, and Kevin had a brand new battery for my car. Praise the Lord. I didn't give that praise story, but it was a lady, and she was a I shared it here before. She was a lesbian. She wrote the lesbian LGBT rules at Syracuse University. And she was very hostile and antagonistic towards people of faith. She was in Syracuse, New York. She taught at Syracuse. And one time a pastor just wrote her a letter. I'd like to just, let's just chat sometimes. Because she'd been writing some really, really nasty articles about the religious right. And so he invited her home, but there's two things he did, and she commented on it, and it just spoke to me. One, she was a vegetarian, so he made a vegetarian meal. Two, she was an environmental person, very environmentally conscious. So he didn't turn on the air conditioners, he ran fans.
Okay.
Two simple little things, but for her, it opened up a door to where several years later she gave her heart to Jesus.
Wow.
What was this guy doing? So great example of what Paul did. He could say, you know, I don't have to, I'm free, I can do what I want to do, I'm independent. But because he was under the law of Christ, which is the law of love, which means I'm going to love this person because I want to win them to Christ. I might love steaks, but if I want to win them to Christ, I'm going to cook a vegetarian meal when they come over. And I'm going to turn my air conditioner off and run the fans.
Yeah.
I'm speaking their language,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I love the Word of God. You take six little verses like this and you can just speak like this. This is good. It's an awesome principle, okay? I learn where people are at, and God speaks to my own language, and I can't learn how God speaks to James, right, until I get to connect with James. Someone else. This applies in your family. It applies everywhere. Amen?
Amen.
All right. I'm going to finish with one more chapter. You don't have to turn there, but it's in Romans chapter 14. In Romans, it actually says in there, too, it says, owe no one anything except for love. But in Romans chapter 14, this also applies to the house of God. It applies to the body of Christ. And one thing the Lord says too, he says, they will know we are Christians by our love, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's important. I believe that the body of Christ, I think we should be the healthiest, the happiest, most prosperous people on the earth. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
I'll say that again, because I had a conversation with someone this week who disagreed with me, and that's fine. Christians should be the healthiest, most prosperous, most joy-filled people on the earth.
Amen.
Whether I'm going through good times or bad, I should carry something that no one else has. And
yes.
It's the example
yes.
that someone shared that time. He says, if Christianity is so great, why are all these Christians so miserable acting?
Yeah.
And that's part of what I went back to say before. If I'm finding myself in that place, I need to connect with the Lord, okay? Part of my testimony, part of living the gospel is being that. And part of our testimony to the world is that I can engage and interact with the body of Christ in ways that express love, okay?
Yes.
And I'm not going to read all of Romans 14. I would love to. If I was doing a Bible study, Kevin, I would do it. This is a beautiful, beautiful chapter. But he talks about this. He says, receive one who is weak in the faith, talking about other brothers and sisters in Christ, but not to dispute over doubtful things. For one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. And he goes on and on. He says, who are you to judge another servant? By to his own master he stands or falls. Okay? Some of the Christians who were coming into the faith were new, and they had trouble with an issue like circumcision. And so Paul was saying, you know what? It's not worth alienating your brother or making him fall. And he says later on, he says, if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Paul just finishes saying that, you know, in the new covenant you can eat. You can eat shellfish, right? You can eat pork. It says, but if it causes my brother to stumble, I'm not going to do it. If your brother's grieved because of your food, you're no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. So that goes back to that pastor. Don't serve that vegetarian a steak because it might something as simple as that.
Yeah.
Might make her never go, because she actually said if he'd done things like that, just invited me to his church, I would have never gone back to his house again. Okay? So it's an example of love and serving. He says, I'm not going to do it. Let me just give you a practical example. Okay? He talks about the rules of conscience in here, and this happens. You know, sometimes there's people, let's put it this way. I know a pastor, and he went to a church one time to minister, and they say, when you come here, I know this is a big part of your message, but don't teach it. Don't touch it while you're here. Now, some of us would be, I'm going to teach it. I'm going to give what God gives me. But he went into that church. He said, I carry something the Lord has for these people. I'm going to honor what the man shared, what he said to me. I'm going to not destroy everything I have on the sake of my freedom. And so he didn't touch that subject. The guy after service said, I trust you. You can come back and preach whatever you want to preach. Great story. If I go to, if you're in a church, let's say we this is just church examples right now, okay? So if I go in a church and it's a King James only church, is anyone King James only? They may be, even though I think there's an earlier translation, the Korean translation. I won't get into that. It'd be fine if someone wants to talk about it. And someone, so if if you're King James only, and I go to a church, I'm going to read out of the King James, so I don't lose the congregation right off the bat.
Yep.
Sometimes when people come here to minister, they say, what do I wear? Does everyone wear a suit here? It's a good question. So if I go to a church and everyone wears a suit and a tie, I'm going to go in, because something as little as that, I'm not going to destroy my message over my freedom. Okay? I'm free, but I'm free to love. I'm free under the law of Christ to serve. Amen?
Amen?
These are very simple, practical things. TV. I know, let me give you this example. I like big band. I like the 1940s music. I do. I like Frank Sinatra. I had a guy in my car with me one time, and I put on Frank Sinatra. Thought it was nice. He said, Frank Sinatra, that's worldly, isn't it? I said, okay. So I turned it off. To honor this guy. I said, you know what? I'm free. I have no problem with this at all. I like the music. But maybe it's a stumbling block to him I don't know about.
Right.
TV is like that. There's people who cannot, it's their personal conscience before God, they don't watch TV. I don't think they're legalists for that. I don't. That might be a personal conviction that they have. If I invite them to my house, I'm not going to blare TV right in front of them to show how freed I am. Because maybe there's something on the TV they'll see that's going to trigger all these other things in them, that's going to send them to snubbles. You see what I mean? So I can say, I'm free in Christ, but I'm not going to destroy. And as it, remember, love has an expression. So if I really love James and he has a problem with TV, I'm not going to invite him to my house and play the TV to prove how free I am and to prove that this is okay. I'm going to honor you because maybe that's a stumbling block. Okay? There's Christians I know have no problem having a glass of wine. Okay? For me, it's always been something. It's scriptural. Drunkenness is sin, but Paul encouraged Timothy to have a glass of wine. It's my conscience. I can't do that, right? And you have a story?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was at a dinner with a group of people, and I felt free to have a glass of wine, and the non-Christians called me out on it.
Yeah. Bingo. Yeah.
That'll leave a mark.
Yeah. And so in a case like that, you have to use, in other words, you use wisdom. Okay? You're not going to destroy someone over your own freedom.
Right.
Okay? It's you use wisdom. I don't get all into a, well, this is my individual freedom. Okay, it is, but my ultimate freedom and my ultimate heart to be to win the more. To save some. And so if I, even in a Christian setting, so I come from a family of alcoholics. I always share an uncle who died in a puddle of mud because he was too drunk to get up. Okay? The Lord would never allow me to do that. And maybe it's because it would be prone to cause problems with me. I had a funny story about me real quick. I don't know why I'm getting all this, but I will. When we were on our honeymoon, we went to this restaurant. They gave us this drink, and it was to this day the best drink I've ever had in my life. I took a few sips. They said it's alcohol. And the Spirit of the Lord said, you can't drink anymore. I said, no, I want it so good, because it's a personal conviction that I have. It's my personal conscience. It says in here, who are you to judge another's servant? To his own master he stands or falls, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So if I'm with someone in a case like that, especially, and there's passages in leadership and things like that, especially in that case, I'm going to guard, because it's my heart. That person may have had a problem with alcohol, and they see you drink as a Christian, and just enables them to just open it up, man. You know? It's like that with other little things, certain things, okay? It's a law of love, right? I love this person more than my steak dinner, and I'll eat vegetables with them because it's my heart to win the more, okay? Free to have a glass of wine, but I love this person too much. I love Jesus too much, which means I love them too much, which means I'm having sweet tea tonight. I prefer the sweet tea. Go ahead, Bob.
There's a book, and I liked it, because when I was getting divorced from my first marriage, I read every relationship book there was, and they didn't all necessarily help me, but this book called Five Love Languages really helped me, because it showed me that there's more ways than one to speak love to somebody, not just words. There's other things that we do or can do that show certain people that you love them. And it's not necessarily just what you
it's living the gospel.
Yeah.
It's living the gospel. And I love this little passage in Acts I wrote down here. I should never insist on my liberty in the presence of those whose conscience would be offended. Okay, I should never just insist that my liberty is the law of Christ, which is the law of love. And Paul used that when he went in there. And it's a good story for us. It's a good, because I've seen it. Do you know he talks in here about days? As silly as it seems, one person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. David Guzik, he put, there are a lot of useless, harmful divisions among Christians over silly, bigoted things. Paul isn't telling these Christians to erase their differences. He tells them to rise above them as Christian brothers and sisters. It's from David Guzik, who's an excellent evangelical scholar. Harmful. I had a guy when I was growing up in church, and he thought he was being really, really spiritual by telling all of us how evil and paganist Christmas, the Christmas holiday was, okay? So I take him back to this, and he actually calls, he made it a divisive issue in our church. A device, made it, I won't tell you what he did, I won't tell you what he had his kids say. One person esteems one day above another, another esteems every day alike, let each be fully convinced in his own mind. We're brothers and sisters, right? They will know we are Christians by our love. So one, I apply to others outside the faith, but one I also have to apply in here. And I don't get up into a tizzy because the Lord tells me I can watch TV and you can't or something, right? Or this or that, okay? There's some things that the Lord does leave to conscience. And it's important too, and I'm going to close with this. It's called accommodation. I accommodate, learn where people are. But if you ever find yourself, I've shared this story a few weeks ago and it's powerful, I'll mention it again. The elder in my church, who wanted to minister to the guys at his work. But if you ever find yourself going along and doing something you shouldn't be doing, okay, we are salt. Salt is distinctive. Salt is never affected by anything it's in. It always affects everything it's in, right?
Yeah.
Same for light. I always have to keep my distinctions. And it means that as a believer, I can mold and adapt to my circumstance and situation without changing my identity as a child of God, without changing my convictions. I'm a son of God. It means I can go to the guy down the street and guy want to get saved, and I can learn about car parts with him or something, you know? And I can engage with him on that level, and I can mold and adapt. It means if God calls you to, if you're going into the prisons, you learn to mold and adapt, and you learn these people. He calls you here in this family situation, that family situation. It means as a believer of God, I have freedom. I have the opportunity to be under Christ Jesus and love people where they're at and minister. And I don't have to be so narrow that I say, I don't have to be circumcised, so I'm going to show everyone how free I am. My freedom is, I don't have to be, but I'll come into your situation because I want to win you to Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit that's here. I thank you for this people. Lord, thank you as a church and as a body, we have the opportunity and the privilege to minister, all of us, in a place that's known as America's mission field. Thank you, Lord, that all of us in southern New England is known as America's mission field. And you've called us all here as missionaries to minister in America's mission field. And Lord, all of us are under you. Lord, teach us the law of love, Lord, that we never lose our distinction, Lord, as sons and daughters of God, but we never become to a place where we violate and we turn aside and we destroy other people on the basis of our own freedom, but that we love, that we stoop, and that we serve. We thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing. We bless you and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Anyone else?